You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I love that we started the show with a scream. We welcome you in to Dana and Parks on this federal holiday, Juneteenth.
Is anybody out there? Hello.
Hello.
United States is currently playing Austria?
Australia.
Nope.
You were really close.
Very close.
Really close.
They should put a little koala bear next to the score.
Or maybe the country's flag.
Right. I mean, they could do that, I suppose.
You were off last Thursday, but Austria instead of Australia is much better than what I did, which was the first game South Africa was playing.
Yeah.
They're the Republic of South Africa.
Yeah.
So it says RSA. I said to Scott, why is Russia wearing yellow?
Okay. Ah. You know, we are all getting a global education. Dan, you look like you're ready just for team. You've got the scarf on. You've got the hat on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's lovely.
I'm ready to go. I've got red, white, and blue shoes and socks.
Oh, yeah. You're showing that America pride.
There
Dan.
We go.
So if you're here with us, please let us know.
We are so happy that you are here. The next match here, I will remind you, is Saturday night. Ecuador versus Curaçao at 7 p.m. That is the next Kansas City stop. And by the way, there's a great article in the Kansas City Star today if you have not seen it. And the headline says everything. Kansas City has turned into the World Cup fans' favorite stop. And it gets a little bit into just people are like, you guys are so friendly here. I'm like, well,
it's a good place.
We've kind of always been that way, right?
Based on what they see in the media, we're all just a bunch of jerks that hate each other. And they come here and they're like, wow, you guys are nice. Well, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh. Especially when you look at Lawrence and Riverside and Parkville and all the different communities.
It's not a giant city. No. So it's right in the middle there.
All right. Are we going to play some games today, Sam?
I think we should. Dan, you in?
Yeah, I'll join in.
I've got a list here if you guys are okay with it. I'm thinking 2:45, we do some trivia.
Yes, please.
3:45, Family Feud.
Yes, please.
And, I mean, if we have time, 4:45 mixtape.
Done.
Dan?
Done.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And we will air the grievances
promptly
at 5 o'clock for Festivus Friday.
Right.
Really quick, because I know Toy Story 5 debuts tonight. We were planning on going to see it maybe Saturday or Sunday, depending on whether schedules allow, whether we can get a seat. We went back last night with the adult children and watched the original Toy Story.
I love it.
I am telling you, if you haven't seen it in 30 years, it is one of the greatest works of art for all ages I have ever seen. It holds true.
Yeah, holds up.
It holds up. We let the claw knows everything. The claw has chosen. We laughed out loud last night. And we didn't watch it because we're going to see Toy Story 5 and you need some kind of refresher. This isn't War and Peace here. I think you can just go watch Toy Story 5 cold. But I said, why don't we do that? Let's watch the original. And I'm telling you, we had the loveliest evening doing that last night.
So we're already getting some reviews out because, of course, there were the people that got to see it for the preview and then a couple of people who have already seen it today. I will say that Toy Story 1 through 3 was kind of known for, being entertaining for all ages. They had adult jokes in there that were kind of disguised for the kids.
Yeah.
They had kid jokes in there that were disguised for the adults. Toy Story 4 did not get that reputation. It was very obviously designed for little kids.
Okay.
In terms of the reviews that we're getting so far, Toy Story 5 is going to be the same way.
Okay, that surprises me, and here's why. Tom Hanks gave an interview. And he said, we first got these kids when they were 6. Now they are 36.
Yeah.
Trust us, we are not going to blank this up.
I think that it's going to be incredible no matter what. But when you look at some of the comedy in the first 3, I think that you should be prepared that that might not be prevalent in number 5.
So I'm looking at the New York Times review now. The gang's all back. They talk about the tablet. Lilypad is the name of the tablet. By the way, is that the Joan Cusack character? I think Joan Cusack is one of the voices.
Okay.
Predictably, they simply stop pushing and instead wiggle around the thornier issues while spending too much time on another Pixar romance. And I've heard that there's, because didn't Little Bo Peep run off with Woody in the last one? He's now balding, which I find hilarious.
Joan Cusack is the cowgirl.
Is Jessie. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go see it, and I'm not going to read the reviews, and here's why.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite movies of all time would not be what you would consider critically acclaimed. I think I prefer Toy Story the original to Toy Story 2. I know that that's blasphemy. I think Toy Story 2 is one of the rare 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is regarded as one of the greatest animated movies
of all time.
Yes.
Right? And so, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm excited. What are the other, if you had to choose the top 10 greatest animated, and Toy Story 1 and 2 are in the, you know, they're up there.
10's too many. Can we go top 3?
Okay. Dan, stop it with the screaming in the studio. If anyone is taping this match between USA and not Austria, you do not want to see what Dan is doing right now. And I'm not going to ruin it because I think people are, I don't know.
I wouldn't ruin it.
People get very mad when we talk about live sports.
When it's other teams and it's not Team USA, I think we can ruin it. But Team USA, let's leave it alone.
I think with the movies, if we're going to rank the top 10 animated, you have to have two categories. You have to have the before 1975 category.
Yeah.
Where you would have your Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. You would have your
original Disney movies.
Dumbo, yeah, and Bambi. And then I think you have to have a separate category for like 90s and up, or whatever.
You can't even really compare like Lady and the Tramp and The Fox and the Hound to all of these
101 Dalmatians.
Movies. Yeah, exactly. So I agree with you. I think we should keep it more modern. If I had to pick a top three, because I can't fathom a list of 10 in my head right now, Cars has to be in it for sure.
Really?
The first Cars movie definitely has to be in there. I would honestly, personally say, just like you, Dana, the original Toy Story over Toy Story 2. And give me some time on my
third
one.
The IMDb website ranks the original Toy Story as number one.
And we're talking about just animated movies?
Yep. I will tell you this. Number two is also my personal number two, bar none, hands down, nothing else touches it. And that is Up.
Oh,
with Walter Matthau.
That would be my third for sure.
Yeah. You got to put Up in there.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Lion King.
Do you want to guess about number three? It is not Lion King.
Frozen.
Bigger and older. And I'm going to get in trouble for saying bigger.
Despicable Me? Incredibles?
Dumbo?
Finding Nemo comes in at number three.
Duh.
Followed by Spirited Away, number four. I've heard that's incredible. I've never seen it.
Okay.
Followed by WALL-E, which I liked a lot. And I like the message. I don't know that it would be in my top five.
So we're just talking about recent animated movies. Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet. Let me go down. Followed by number six, Toy Story 3, When Andy Leaves for College. Followed by The Incredibles, Ratatouille, The Iron Giant, and at number 10 is Toy Story 2.
Oh, man, The Iron Giant,
that's crazy.
Too. Jeez.
1, 2, and 3 are all in the top 10. Sam, what is The Iron Giant?
That was the big giant that made friends with the little boy.
Aww.
And there were a ton of different other characters, and
I miss that.
Yeah, he had to hide him because everybody was afraid of him. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, so text line if I get some of this wrong, I do apologize. It was like a meteor that he came down to Earth in, and the little boy went and found him. And
this is all ages, by the way, Sam. So right after your robot, whatever movie that was called that I missed.
Iron Giant.
is Toy Story 2, followed by number 11 from 1940. Dan?
Uh-huh.
It is not Snow White. It is not
Fantasia.
Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by The Lion King. Followed by My Neighbor Totoro. Followed by Snow White, 1937.
Where was Spirited Away on this list?
And at number 15, my top five, Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. How did I miss that one? The text line's coming in with a bunch that I forgot about. Ratatouille.
Ratatouille is in the top 20, I believe.
Mulan.
Not in the top 20.
Lion King, as Dan mentioned. The Little Mermaid.
Let me give you 20 on in. 20 came in as How to Train Your Dragon, followed by Aladdin, followed by the Little Mermaid, followed by The Nightmare Before Christmas. I sort of put that in a different category. Number 16 is Beauty and the Beast, and then it's Monsters, Inc. all the way in.
You want the top five highest grossing animated of all time?
Yes, I do.
Number five, Frozen 2. Number four, the hyper-realistic Lion King. So they're obviously including modern CGI in there. Number three, Inside Out 2. Number two, Zootopia 2. And number one, I've never even heard of it, Neza?
Spell it.
N-E-Z-H-A 2. It is a Chinese animated fantasy adventure film that grossed well over $2 billion.
So, well, I guess what I would say, go see it with the family for the nostalgia. And don't worry about the reviews. Go see it because it is what it is. And we've been gifted these five films. And what a great time that we got to grow up with these.
That's true.
With our kids.
Ice Age.
Oh, my God.
How did we forget about the Ice Age series? The
Brave Little Toaster. Hilarious. And please do not forget Madagascar. I've got an MRI tomorrow morning. 913-586-7798. We have so much today straight ahead on Dana and Parks. We are going to play games. We have a guest in the studio at 3 o'clock to talk about a pretty important topic that's very serious. But then we will lighten it up with another game. I promise you that. I'm not going to give you the score the United States is playing. They're doing well. And we are back with more after this on Dana and Parks. I saw this story last night and sent it to Sam, and it makes me so mad as we head into Father's Day weekend. And happy Father's Day early to all of you dads out there, by the way, and to my dad.
Happy Father's Day, Craig.
Such a good one. I got such a good one.
He's a golden one, that's for sure.
So an Oklahoma dad is speaking out about a viral video of a bathroom confrontation of Quick Trip, and I am going to defend this dad, and I hope you will too, because I'm so fed up with the bathroom weirdness in America. Can we find some of the audio? The only thing is, I don't know if the guy is cursing, Sam. You look that up, and
I'll
tee up the story, and then let's talk about it. An Oklahoma dad's video is going viral after he was harassed at the gas station while accompanying his young daughters to the women's restroom. Tyler Brodsky was driving from Florida back to Oklahoma. So keep in mind, he is by himself on a long road trip when he decided to stop at the Quick Trip in Alabama. He is not from Alabama. You know what it's like when you're on a road trip. And if you've got two young kids with you, I'm not taking my eye off of those two young children. It's not happening.
Yeah, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Brodsky took his daughters to the women's restroom for what he thought would be a routine bathroom break, but then quickly changed when another customer, a man, began demanding that Brodsky leave the bathroom. I wouldn't be okay if this was a woman, but I'm going to be honest. When I first saw the story, I thought it was a woman coming in, and she was barking to the man, get out of the women's restroom. I don't think a woman would ever do that anyway, because he had his two little girls with him. You'd be like, dude, you do you. You've got to stay with them. You're in an unfamiliar place, right? So this dude comes in and starts screaming at the family. Brodsky began recording while calmly helping his daughters wash their hands at the bathroom sink. In the background, you can see the angry customer talking on his phone, apparently calling police. He kept escalating it. He kept yelling at us on the phone with police, he said. He was being aggressive. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just wanted to make sure it was all documented for my safety and my kids' safety. In the video, one of his daughters is visibly upset and crying while the other man stands in the doorway speaking with police. Brodsky calmly tries to reassure them and somehow managed to keep his cool. I am with my girls. They are already scared. I don't want to escalate this matter any further. I wanted to be here for them and let them know that nothing is going to happen. And that's really all I had on my mind, he said, was my girls.
Also, leave him alone, bro. If QT didn't want him in there, guess what?
Yep.
QT would have removed him.
Listen to this. A Quick Trip employee who responded to the incident, she can be seen inside the bathroom, at one point closed the door on the aggressive customer. I am so sorry, she told Brodsky, while grabbing paper towels for his daughters. The video ends with him and his daughters in the store waiting for police to arrive. And then they told this idiot, by the way, when police got there, this isn't a police matter.
Right.
No kidding.
They didn't commit a crime.
No. They asked the guy to leave. Police officers talked to the girls and made sure that they felt, you know, that everything, they were okay. They were safe. The police then reassured the little girls, no one has done anything wrong here. That video initially was viewed more than 23 million times. He says, quote, take your girls to the women's restroom. They're clean. They're safe. The women are supportive of it. I just always announce that I'm coming in with my daughters. And if there's a woman in there, I make sure they're okay with it. Speak to an employee if you have to. Make sure they're okay with it. They're kids. All we want to do is keep them safe. Now, he says he's forgiven the guy. Not me. It's not my place to forgive because it's not my story. I think he's a jerk and he should have been, like, actually cited for abuse of the 911 system.
Here's the report from Inside Edition.
This video is putting the spotlight on a dilemma lots of dads face at some point.
There is a man with his two little girls using the women's bathroom.
This dad is in the ladies' room because his two little girls just had to go. And the guy in the doorway is really upset.
He's refusing. He's taking his sweet time.
I have two girls washing their hands.
You don't have any business bringing them into the women's bathroom.
They're girls. They go to the women's bathroom.
The guy at the door says his wife needs to use the bathroom.
She is waiting to use the restroom with her mother, who is very ill. This is ridiculous, man.
The lady in the red shirt works at the store.
I am so sorry.
She hands the little girls paper towels. The confrontation continues after the dad leaves the bathroom.
Stop videoing me.
The dad says the incident happened at a rest stop during the family road trip from Florida to Oklahoma. I spoke to the dad, Tyler Brodsky. I imagine you checked the restroom before you went in to make sure nobody else was in there, right?
Yeah. It is uncomfortable going into a woman's bathroom as a man. I always check.
The video is sparking big response on social media. You did absolutely nothing wrong. But there was also this comment. If the child needs assistance, he brings her into the men's bathroom. Liz Stern is a parenting expert.
How does one become a parenting expert?
You do it really well, I guess. I don't know.
Am I a parenting expert?
What I could not ignore from this QT employee is that her eyes could not have been rolled further back in her head.
She's like, are you kidding me?
She is
standing there. I do not get paid enough money to deal with this.
Moderating the situation. This guy has his foot firmly planted in front of that bathroom door so she cannot close it on him. And he is just berating the 911 system about this guy being in the restroom. And you're right. She didn't just close the door. She like forcefully shut it on the man, pushing him out of the doorway to then provide towels and apologize to the customer about what was going on. Leave it up to the business.
It is.
Leave it up to the business.
Oh, yeah. And I hope that his wife and his mother were mortified. Or is he such a bully in every aspect of his life that they were too scared to speak up? My guess is that's probably the case.
Quite frankly, I got to be honest with you. I'm proud of this QT employee for how she handled it.
I
probably would have looked at the man and been like, hey, if you're going to act like this, you have to go.
You have to leave.
You are the problem.
Your wife can wet her pants because you're a jerk. 913-586-7798. We are back with much more on Dana and Park. Stick with us. Welcome back to Dana and Park. Speaking of movies, you know that the Steven Spielberg film Disclosure Day, which is fake based in Kansas City. Like, they didn't shoot it in Kansas City, but the film, as you're watching it, they're going to say this is happening in Kansas City.
Yeah, the meteorologist in the trailer says, good morning, Kansas City.
Good morning, Kansas City. Yeah. So listen to this. A Kansas City UFO investigator says Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day film is 100% accurate. A longtime UFO investigator in Kansas City says Steven Spielberg's new movie about extraterrestrials rings true with what she knows and has learned about ETs. Oh my gosh, she says, it is so realistic. And a lot of what they put in there, almost everything they put in there, that ET experiencers go through is 100% accurate. Quoting here from Margie Kay, the director of the Missouri chapter of the National Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, Spielberg has an interest in this subject, obviously, she says, but he really, really did his research. And MUFON, if you're wondering, is one of the oldest and largest groups of civilians who investigate and document reports of unidentified anomalous phenomena. We call them UAPs now, right, instead of UFOs. Kay says she saw her first UFO when she was a teenager, but has been investigating sightings for nearly 40 years, and she's written about a dozen books about it. That's one that I'll probably wait to stream, but
I definitely want to see it.
I definitely want to see it. And yeah, and the thought behind it is when you see the meteorologist, Emily Blunt, just starts staring into space as she's supposed to be delivering the weather.
Almost like she's having a seizure, yeah, or a stroke.
And then she starts making these weird noises.
Mm-hmm. Clicking.
Is that somehow they infiltrate the human race,
right,
with their language? Is that sort of, am I right?
And this UFO expert is saying that she's witnessed this?
I think she's just saying that the phenomena that he is exploring in the movie,
uh-huh,
is one that is accurate when you speak to people in that realm. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know,
I know I'm usually Mr. UFO, Mr. Crazy Conspiracy Story guy.
You know,
how does this expert know?
I hope that when you walk out of the movie, there aren't people like clicking and making weird noises at you. Like when we walked out of Smile,
uh-huh,
and they had paid actors to stand there with that creepy smile on their face, I'm like, get away from me.
Or like when the new It was coming out and they paid a bunch of clowns to stand at the edge of woods with a red balloon.
Oh my gosh, I hate, mm-hmm, that. Speaking of ghosts, we got a home buyer. This is terrible.
Oh, this is bad.
In Connecticut, this was a foreclosed property. So this sort of explains how in God's name this could happen. But the owner of this foreclosed property, they get the keys, they go to the bank, they get the title work done on the foreclosure. They're like, okay, this is our house for whatever reason. I don't know if they were flipping it or what.
The home of their dreams.
They show up to this Connecticut home this week, and state troopers were almost immediately called. They showed up actually just before 5 p.m. on Sunday, having received a report of human remains, plural, that were found inside. Officials later confirmed that it was the home buyer who had just purchased the property as is. There's so many jokes here. Oh my God, they purchased it as is. Like as is, I think means like the floors creak and we, right, haven't checked the air conditioning.
Not full of bones.
We're not sure about the sewer or the roof. It does not say to me when you say as is that you can just have a bunch of dead people in
now,
there, because that's
the
what
listing
happened.
Say
as is.
It's got great bones. Because if it did,
get out! You
they're
know
telling
that it
the
did.
Truth.
You know that it did.
They're telling the truth. It's got great bones.
Detectives from the Connecticut State Police Western District Major Crime Unit are investigating. They don't think there's any danger to the public. I read somewhere they thought there was 3 sets of remains.
I saw that as well. Yeah.
So, dumb question.
Yeah.
When they bought the foreclosed home,
right,
how did the seller not realize there were 3 dead people in the house?
I mean, it could be that they weren't in the main common area of the home. Maybe they were in a closet, you know, skeletons in the closet.
Oh, my God.
I genuinely do not know. Yeah, the remains of 3 people were found inside the home.
Oh, they're going to make a nightmare horror film about this, and here's why. The exterior of the home, if you look this up, Sam,
it's creepy.
Sort of wooded log cabin style,
mm-hmm,
like maybe like a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. All right. It is deep, deep in the brush and in the woods, like overgrown everywhere. There's the foreclosure sale says per order of the Superior Court, this is going to be sold as is. I do have a question, though. Even if you're a real estate agent or whatever, and they're auctioning this off on the courthouse steps, does no one go in to check the status of the foreclosed home? Are you not allowed to go in and look before you buy it?
Typically, if it's sold on the courthouse steps, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, no. Yeah, you are just buying it based on the pictures that you have. And maybe somebody went in there and took some pictures. Maybe they didn't. State police did say there were no signs of foul play in the deaths of the individuals or any indication of any criminal aspects.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
They also noted that there is no danger
not,
to the public.
It is not carbon monoxide. Listen to this. The fire department said that they have responded to that home twice over the last month before the people were found, including once before the remains were found. In the first instance, they responded to an audible alarm call back in May. Fire officials say crews did a walk around the home, which appeared vacant. They did not find any smoke or fire. They alerted the property's management company, and then they left because gaining entry would cause damage. And they said when they left with the alarm still sounding.
Yeah, what is an audible alarm call? So it had an alarm system?
Or had like a wired carbon monoxide system, which doesn't make sense, or smoke detector because this looks so vacant. When they returned to the address after the remains were discovered to assist law enforcement with metering the residence for carbon monoxide, they said the residence came out at zero PPMs. It's not carbon monoxide that killed those people.
Oh, and how long has it been foreclosed?
The sign says, let me look, it was going to be sold June 6th, because this just happened.
Right.
So they sold it Saturday, June 6th. You get the keys, what, the 6th or the 7th, so last week.
I just wonder if it sat vacant over the winter. This is in Burlington, Connecticut. There is a strong chance that there were squatters in there that were unable to keep it warm enough to survive. And then they just passed.
And died of exposure, you think?
Just died from the cold. Just hypothermia.
God, I wonder if it did say good bones. We're going to have to look that up. It just says as is. And by the way, Cuckoo Cuckoo Crazy Homicidal Nut is still on the loose in our town.
Yes. Keep an eye out for him.
There's now a $25,000 reward. I think he shot at like now, what, 10 people?
I think we're still at 5 total.
No, no, no. There's now people in KCK have come out saying that like a little while ago there was a shooting there, and someone in Independence said they tried to alert police that there was a shooting there. Same description of the guy, 22-year-old Oscar Sanchez Munoz, should be considered extremely armed and dangerous.
They did identify the victim in the Independence shooting, which I believe was either the 4th or the 5th.
And that was a truck crash after the shooting, right?
Yes. Well, I think it was a shooting. He hit the driver and then it crashed.
He's also wanted on an active warrant for criminal discharge of a firearm out of KCK. You think?
Yeah.
The FBI is offering the reward. It's all over social. Do not go looking for this person, please. He set a house on fire that apparently belonged to his brother during one of the standoffs.
His left eyebrow is missing a portion of it, not from the fire, but because, you know, he decided it would look cool to shave part of the middle of his left eyebrow.
The brother now, by the way, has a GoFundMe saying that he did not give his wanted, armed, and dangerous brother permission to hole up in his house, and that the suspect literally set the whole thing on fire before he left.
What do you do in that situation? You know, you have a family member.
I would be like, do not come over here looking for safe harbor.
Probably didn't invite him over. He just thought it was a safe house, like in GTA or something. Like, well, if I go here, they might not know where I'm at.
Good God.
I don't know. And then, of course, he sets his brother's house on fire.
All right, what game do we have coming up at 2:45?
2:45, we're going to be playing Trivia of the Decades. I've got 70s, I've got 80s, I've got 90s, and I've got the 2000s. Ooh. We're going to get Dan Weinbaum in here, and we are going to see.
All right, slap me with some 80s. 2000s, 80s. Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to be really good with 70s, 80s, and we'll see about the rest. 913-586-7798. You can play along, too, on the text line. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Sam just walked in and said, I'll give you the aughts. And I said, what does that mean?
And I said, the 2000s.
I have never heard that term in my entire life.
And you said, what does the aughts mean? And I said, I don't know, the 2000s. I don't get it either.
OTS, aughts?
I don't know if that's how that's spelled.
Okay.
The aughts.
Okay. You're going to give me 80s trivia, and I'm going to give you aughts.
That's right.
Which, again, okay. All right. Tee it up. I'm ready.
Who wrote the Bengals song Manic Monday?
Prince.
Nice. All right, you go.
What did Aaron Ralston do to to extricate himself from a boulder after a hiking accident in 2003? 3.
He cut off the lower 40 of his arm.
With a?
Pocket knife.
Very dull pocket knife. That's right. Yes.
What was that, 27 hours or 47 hours?
Well, when I first watched it, I thought it was...
127 hours.
Yeah, when I first watched it, I thought it was 27 hours.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, yeah, that's devastating, but I mean, 27 hours. And then it's like, oh no, it's way longer than that.
He cut his arm off after one day?
Right?
Jeez,
just
dude,
wait, someone will be by?
All right. Name one of the... Never mind, that's, you're not going to get that one.
Okay.
Who remained faithfully in love with Pandora Braithwaite after she first appeared in his diaries in 1982? I don't understand any of these references. Do you?
No.
All right, let's try a different one. It's a nice day for a...
White wedding.
Is a line from which 1982 song, and the artist is...
Billy Idol.
Boom.
Who hosted the Oscars awards ceremony in 2014 and took a selfie alongside a group of movie stars?
Oh, geez.
Sam, that was famous. It broke the internet.
I got nothing.
Yes, you do.
Conan?
It's just the funniest, stupidest thing, and all these famous people were behind her. Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen. Oh, that's right. I forget about her after she got canceled for being a meanie head. Who had 3 number one hits following his murder in New York in 1980?
John Lennon.
John Lennon. Very nice.
Who found success with her album One for the Boys in 2008? One for the Boys.
Alicia Keys? That doesn't sound like an Alicia Keys album.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. All right.
I'm winning.
You are, by a lot. I stink at trivia, so... The movie Back to the Future made which car an icon? These are, I could get more of the 80s
okay.
ones than the
I know
the
that's a DeLorean. Give me another one that's stupid.
Good God. I could have also gotten this one, but it's FIFA related, so here you go. Which footballer scored with the hand of God in the 1986 FIFA World Cup? He also, I'll give you a hint, has a soccer move named after him.
Is it the Pele?
It is not the Pele. You want to try a different one?
That's all I know.
It
I have no idea.
Diego Maradona.
Who became the first African-American woman to win an Oscar for Best Actress in 2002? You got to go back.
Oh, God.
2002.
I have no idea. This is not entertaining.
Yes.
God,
I remember the line, too. I just want you to make me feel good.
I you got to hit me with it. I have
Halle
no idea.
Berry.
Halle Berry. I was going to say Halle Berry.
And the name of the movie, it was the one where it was Heath Ledger, and it is dark. Dark and devastating.
What does it say that I know more of the 80s trivia than the trivia from when I was actually alive?
I have no idea.
Because I know like half of these ones. For you, from the 80s, which computer game featured ghosts called Inky, Blinky?
Oh, good God. That's
Pinky,
Pac-Man.
And can you name the fourth ghost?
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde.
Clyde. Boom.
Sam, which late actor played the title role in the 2005 film Capote? With a voice like this, he talked like this, remember? Late actor. He talked like this to the Clutter Murderers, Perry and Hickok? Smith?
I have no idea.
I believe he was either nominated for an Oscar or won an Oscar. It was Philip Seymour Hoffman before his death.
Oh, okay.
It's an outstanding film. Outstanding film.
From the 80s, Super Mario first appeared in which computer game? I'll give you a hint. It was not Super Mario.
It was not Mario Brothers?
It was not.
Oh. Was it Donkey Kong?
It was.
Boom!
Donkey Kong. Look at you. I think it's like 7-0 right now.
Which was the first country in the world to permit the use of 3-person IVF to prevent incurable genetic diseases? I'd forgotten about this. It was in 2015.
I'm going to go with China.
I would have guessed the same thing, Sam. It's the UK.
Okay. Okay.
Some of these are hard. Go ahead.
Which rock group provided the theme track to the 1980s movie Flash Gordon.
Oh, you're going to get me on this. Which what? Rock group?
Which rock group provided the theme track to the 1980 movie Flash Gordon?
Oh, God. Is it like Aerosmith or something?
You're close.
I have no idea.
Queen.
All right. So I've missed one for those of you keeping track.
I am Ofer. You are 7-1.
Which novel and 2011 film is about a student vet who joins a circus and falls in love with a performer?
This is laughable how bad I am at this.
Well, I don't know that I would have gotten this and I saw the movie. That's been a long time
ago.
I'm going
to go with The Notebook.
The Water for Elephants.
Yeah, no idea.
Sorry. I wouldn't have gotten that either, Sam.
Let's find one that you might know. Okay. Which country's bobsleigh team borrowed spare sleds from another country so they could compete in the Winter Olympics in 1988?
Which country's bobsledding team had to borrow? I'm going to go with Switzerland.
I will give you one more hint.
Yeah, I have no idea.
There was a movie about it called Cool Runnings.
Aw, I didn't watch it. Tell me. That's really cool.
Jamaica. Yep.
All right, and then this one. You should know this. Who won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for her role in the 2012 film Les Miserables?
I never saw it.
Jean Valjean, you never saw with...
I never saw Les Miserables.
Gosh, do you know how good he is in that? Why can't I think? He was also in the... the circus movie.
I'm also...
The Greatest Showman.
I was right now years old when I learned it was Miserables, not Miserables.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. They just announced she is expecting her first child today.
Emily Stone.
Good guess in wheelhouse, Anne Hathaway.
Oh. All right, one more. Which items became a defining fashion statement in the 1980s and were a symbol of power dressing?
Was it the flipped collar?
It was not. It was part of a suit jacket.
Was it the flipped suit jacket and was it pink?
It was the shoulder pad.
Oh. Got you. Mm-hmm. Who portrayed June Carter Cash in the film Walk the Line? Sam.
I'm telling you, I suck at trivia.
Come on.
Especially when it comes to actress names.
She won an Oscar.
Anne Hathaway.
Reese Witherspoon.
Oh.
I win.
By a lot.
You suck at the odds.
700-4.
The OTSs.
Even though I didn't get any right.
All right, we have
O-U-G-H-T-S, by the way.
O-U. Oh, like you ought to do something. Right. O-U-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Makes no sense why that would be the 2000s. We have a guest in studio coming up at 3 o'clock. Why is it that every time it gets really, really hot in the Midwest, we have the same devastating headline when the new football players head to the community colleges for the first time? What is it about the Midwest and what's being done to protect these young men? We'll talk about it straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.